But I want to say something just before Bart comes up here. You know, you've heard me say before that every work we do is God sends us to our work. God created the human to work. Did you know that? Work is not a curse. Work is a gift. And one of the things that means is that whatever our work is, we can do it for Jesus Christ, and we can do it for the sake of the kingdom. And so that's real important for all of us to understand. And you've also heard me say more than once that Pastor Bart is a good example of that, because he's a pastor and he's a bus driver. And sometimes I think of him pastoring a portable church as he drives down the road. And I've ridden with him on a shift, and I've seen this. Nevertheless, I can't tell you how delighted I was when somebody took the effort and time to go on the church webpage and give a word of commendation for this brother. And I got this about 3 weeks ago, and I told Valerie, I'm going to read this. I want everybody to hear this the next time Pastor Bart preaches. So here's what was reported. You know, you see the real person when you're out there every day. It's easy to put on a nice face for Sunday, but what are we on Monday? Well, I was not surprised, but I was so delighted to receive this. I just heard Pastor Bart and listened to the Scrooge of Jericho. So the writer went on and heard a sermon. You can, you know, click on the sermons. And he preached the Scrooge of Jericho message in December. And it says, I want to say that I enjoyed it. I also want you to know that I was drawn to Pastor Bart just by his demeanor and how he treats the TriMet passengers. Before I said hello, I was thinking, man, I wonder if Jesus is like that. Every time I see Pastor Bart, he has a smile and he's either helping someone or making another passenger's day. I strive to be like, and really do believe that he is, the embodiment of what Jesus must have been. When I see Pastor Bart, I really do want to be more like him. Pastor Bart is compassionate toward everyone, even the alcoholic that reeks of alcohol and cannot stand on the bus. He just smiles and shows kindness. Pastor Bart made such a huge impact on me just by being the embodiment of Jesus. P.S. If Pastor Bart is the embodiment of Jesus, then Mrs. Bart must be an angel. And she is. She's not with us this morning because of an extended family commitment. But I've been holding on to that for 3 weeks, brother. I'm so glad I got a chance to read that. Would you come, Lord, and come and open the word of the Lord to us this morning? Thank you.
Of all the Sundays that I forget to bring a handkerchief, it's toilet paper in my hip pocket. Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you. I may need those. Oh, boy. Oh, by the way, on Monday, I'm actually sleeping in because I don't work on Mondays now. So that's, wow. I don't even know what to say. Well, one of the things I want to do this morning is a little unusual. My sermon this morning takes more of a topical sermon. I usually don't preach topical sermons. Preach exegetical sermons. And I'm not finished with it yet. I got to make a note in here. Let's see. Here we go. That. Okay. I finished my message. It's fresh. It's very fresh this morning. Well, in response to those gracious words that were shared this morning, and I know the individual who shared those words, and thank you, Pastor Gary. I will just kind of say this. I'm truly amazed. For those of you who know my past and my story, I am truly amazed at the power of restoration and reconciliation and redemption. And so I run to the embrace of Christ. I bow to the power of the cross. And I stand in awe of the gospel and what it accomplishes. Well, as we get into the message this morning, it's going to be a sermonette. I don't know if I've ever preached a 15-minute sermon before. This is going to be unusual, too. So we're doing a lot of things different today. Well, you have an insert in your bulletin, and you're free to look at that. I will be referring to that outline as I go through the sermon, so I'm not going to review it with you and read over like I usually do. I want to get right into the introduction this morning. The heart condition that I'm referring to today in regard to the title that's out there, in regard to the sermon this morning, is not referring to pulmonary anthrax or pulmonary wedge pressure or pulmonary atresia, nor is the title in regard to the heart condition of a human being and the human race referring to pulmonary candidiasis or pulmonary congestion or pulmonary dysmaturity syndrome nor pulmonary edema nor pulmonary embolism, etc., etc., etc. That's not what the title's dealing with. The heart condition, my allergies, right, guys? The heart condition that I'm referring to in today's sermon title is taken from the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 15, verses 18 through the first part of verse 20. These verses will take us right into the first point of the outline. And the first point of the outline is the human heart's condition. Listen to the words of Christ. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. And man can be used in a collective sense here, man or woman, beloved. Actually, even child. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the man. These are the things that defile a person. In modern psychology, we've heard this over and over again, that they seem to take away or they've diluted the term sin. It's kind of tossed out, and there's a whole plethora of things that come with psychology. Some of it's good, but a lot of it's not. But some of it's good. All truth is from God. So there are things in psychology that are true that we can rest in. There are other things we have to kind of go, wait a minute. Sin is a serious thing. Even if there's a modern thought that says that it doesn't really exist, that we're a victim of circumstance, or we're victims, or we can put another label on it, the Bible keeps bringing us back. It keeps bringing us back. It keeps bringing us back. And so I'll read the words of Jesus again. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the condition of the human heart. If that wasn't enough, we can go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I could give you a list of stories from Fox News that I watched in this past week, and you wouldn't want to hear it all with what the human heart is capable of doing. The condition of the human heart. Isaiah 6, verse 10 says, render the hearts of this people insensitive. You know what that word literally is in the Hebrew? Render the hearts of this people insensitive, or render them somewhat dull. You know what the literal word is? Render them fat. Render the heart fat. In other words, the heart isn't sensitive to spiritual things. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, repent and be healed. The condition of the human heart. I think one of the great tragedies in the human race is the obstinance and the stubbornness of folks who are unwilling to repent. Now, we think in terms of Christianity, but I'm even thinking in terms of beyond that. If a person does something wrong and they'll go every which way and not repent, they will not do it. A Hindu can repent of his evil. A Buddhist can repent of his evil. When we talk of repentance, it's in regard to salvation and getting a right relationship with Christ. Once again, I come back to the condition of the human heart, beloved. When the fall occurred in Genesis 2, I can't even fathom the full ramifications of what the human heart is capable of. How many of us would want a slide screen or a projector of our thoughts that have come through at times? Now, there's horrible thoughts that can come through that we don't want anything to do with. I'm not talking about those. But what about thoughts that we enjoy and we know that it grieves the Holy Spirit and goes against the Word of God? Do you realize that it took a transcendent, sovereign God of the universe to change the human heart? The condition of the human heart. Look at this. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. I want to read 5 verses. We usually don't go to the Gospel of Mark. Listen to what's in these 5 verses. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, it's talking about Jesus entering a synagogue, and he's having an encounter here. Listen to what happens. And Jesus, he entered again into a synagogue. Now, if you're going to find spiritual folks and people know about God, certainly in the Old Testament's economy, and especially in Jesus' day, you'd think you'd find him in a synagogue, right? It's a good place to start. And Jesus entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. Now picture this, a withered hand, very obvious. And they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him. Beloved, the capacity of the human heart to twist religion so badly that it actually opposes God. What kind of religion were these folks into at the synagogue that they would be getting upset for a man's withered hand to be healed? What kind of religion is that? The human heart, the condition of the human heart. Well, what kind of religion would put children and women in the ground and bury them alive, beloved? The condition of the human heart. What kind of religion would say, when Christ was hanging on the cross and you had the thieves on both sides, oh, by the way, this is the most holy Sabbath, let's break those guys' legs so they die in time because we don't want to profane the Sabbath. What kind of religion is that? The condition of the human heart can take anything and so twist it. This is what God is up against, folks. This is what he's up against. When I drive that bus, there have been times when I see things that literally water my eyes and bring me to tears. And there's been times when I've struggled with being callous too, beloved, because I see so much of it. And so Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, rise and come forward. Do you want to see some true religion going on? You want to see true religion? Look at what Jesus does. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. Now catch verse 5. Once again, we're looking at the condition of the human heart, beloved. Look at verse 5. Don't pass over it. And after looking around at them with anger, you know, we don't usually think of Jesus being angry. We do think of him turning over the tables in the temple, right? We think of the whips and he drove them out. Hey, he's angry here. And he's in a synagogue. And these people are supposed to know God. And after looking around, and wouldn't you like to have been in that moment when Christ is looking at those guys, those religious leaders, he's looking at them. He's peering right into their eyes, man. He's scanning the room. He's looking, and he's angry. And not only angry, but grieved. Grieved at the hardness of heart. And he said to them, man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The condition of the human heart can grieve the sovereign, transcendent God of the universe. The rebellious human heart. Now, beloved, even as a believer, with all that wonderful grace and forgiveness and cleansing and the love of Christ and the faith of Christ operating in us, every day I need grace. Even as a believer, I need grace. Every day my heart needs to be conditioned with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I'm driving my bus sometimes, guys, and you know what happens? Rain doesn't see this part. I'll have a thought of vainglory pass through my heart. Wait a minute, what was that? It just went through my mind. And so I need to be constantly conditioned with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit, with the gospel, with the presence of Christ, and so do you. That's why I don't lord it over the drunk that gets on my bus. And I'm not going to condone what he does. But what I want him to see is the convicting work of Christ in my life that exudes from my life. Because it's only conviction that brings us to repentance. Okay, here's a question as we're going through this then. As we're considering the condition of the human heart. Here's a question. Why are there so many verses in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that deal with the condition of the human heart? Here's another question. Put it same thing, but put a little differently. Why does God and his word make such a big deal about the spiritual and moral condition of the human heart? And here's the answer, beloved. The answer is this. If you tackle the heart, you tackle the person. If you change the heart, you change the person. Now, let me really ramble with the theme restated, and this is in your outline now. This theme restated says a lot of stuff. I just had to ramble. I had to run with it, okay? God's gift of salvation, what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating this today in this tank of water behind me. God's gift of salvation requires a humble, receptive, and repentant heart. And such a heart transformed is the work of God. Beloved, did you catch that? The condition of the human heart can only be changed by a work of God. Now, we cooperate, but it's a work of God. A heart transformed is the work of God by the power of the gospel. Remember, Dave Barry preached on this. The power of the gospel to save through the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ, and by the regenerative activity of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about regenerative activity of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, that if I only had one chapter to share with people, that'd be the chapter. For unless you are born from above or born from again, you will not enter. Get it, guys? You will not enter the kingdom of God. That's simple. Yet, this profound that God can change a heart and make it a kingdom heart. He makes us residences of the kingdom. We are residents of the kingdom because he changes us from the inside out. Well, we've talked about the condition of the human heart, and the Bible kind of hits pretty hard on that one, right? Well, so does the gospel. If we truly understand the good news of the gospel, we truly understand it has bad news and good news, and the gospel has pinched every one of us, beloved. And if it hasn't pinched us, we don't understand it. It pinches us so that we realize we need repentance. It pinches us so that we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins. It pinches us because we realize our sin put Christ on that cross. It pinches. So we come now to the second point of the outline, the human heart's cure. And Jeremiah 31:33 says this, this is God working. And he's telling Israel, I got this new covenant thing I'm going to do with you folks, and it's going to spill over to the Gentiles, by the way. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the cure of the human heart. It is supernatural. God's activity of salvation as he reaches down to us through his word, through his son Jesus, and through the gospel, beloved. The cure of the human heart, Romans 10. Listen to this one. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, Paul says. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and what does it say? And believe in your heart. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes. With the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Beloved, I wished I could somehow get a handle of what the Holy Spirit does when the moment we trust in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. But when it's his work, it lasts and it perseveres and it changes the person. Do you realize that every one of us who have placed our trust in Christ and have been born from above or born again, same thing, that is a supernatural inner working of God? Did you know that God, in a sense, imparts his divine nature so that you're able to live a godly life? We can't produce this on our own. I can't be born again on my own. I can't somehow get my life right together first, and I'll do all these good works, and then, it doesn't work that way. I can't do it, and neither can you. Don't ever be in despair or hopeless about how wicked the human heart can be, on the one hand. But on the other hand, have great joy in the power of what God can do to change a heart, and realize it takes God to do it. Now, here's a very important statement, and I really want you to pick up on this, okay? Because I've been saying this for a while now. The Lord is able to change our heart. I've been saying that. The Lord is able to change our heart. But here's something maybe we haven't thought about. Not only is the Lord able to change our heart, he invests in it. Did you know that? Did you know that the Lord God Almighty, the sovereign God of creation, who put 3.8 billion bits of information in a single human DNA, who flings out stars every 30 seconds and a 17 billion light year across universe ever expanding with billions of galaxies and trillions of stars, this God is the God who invests in your heart? Well, how does he invest? You mean he changes his heart? Well, we know about the new birth, okay, putting trust in Christ. Holy Spirit does his work of regeneration. We have a changed heart. He invests in it too? Yes, he does. God makes an investment in our hearts. Romans 5:5, verse B, just the second part of verse 5. Listen to this. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Salvation is a gift. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, and as God is investing in our heart, we are poured out with the love of God in our hearts, guys. That's an investment. That is an investment. When God takes hold of our hearts, look what he pours out of it. The love of God. The love of God. Now, beloved, as you engage with people in a lost and hurting world, what should be pouring out from our hearts is the love of God. The love of God. And you'll be amazed. You will be amazed at the opportunities you will have for the gospel, beloved, and what the Holy Spirit orchestrates, not what we try to push down and cram down people. My goodness, beloved, not only does he change our heart, he invests in it. Galatians 4:6 says this, and because you are sons, and this can be seen in a collective sense, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and we cry out, Abba, Father. He invests in our hearts. Well, what does he invest in? My goodness, people, capital S. Not a small S here, Spirit. Capital S. God has sent forth the Spirit, capital S, of his Son into our hearts. And since we are sons and daughters of the kingdom, we cry out a strong term of endearment that we can't even transliterate, or we can't even interpret or really translate adequately. The nearest the English struggles is we call our father daddy. And if you would have done it back in the days of the Old Testament, they would have stoned you for that. Abba, Father, is a strong term of endearment that a son says, that a loving son who loves his father and the father loves his son, and he's invested in our hearts with the Spirit of his Son. You really don't belong to yourself anymore, beloved, to live your life any way you want. And here's the bummer of that one. When you live the life the way you want, you're robbing yourself of joy. But when you live your life in the way God intends, that's where the real joy is. We got it backwards. We get it backwards all the time. The Spirit of his Son sent forth into our hearts. We cry out, Abba, Father. Beloved, that is quite an investment. I close with this. Remember I said God can change the heart? I close with this. Dave, this is your chance right now. Dave was in our Sunday school class, and he shared a story about how God can change your heart. Would you share that story? Yes. Sure. Or if you want to come up here, you do whatever you're comfortable with.
In my work, I do maintenance for a property management company, so I'm in people's homes all the time. I was visiting, doing some work in a man's home. His name is Pat. And Pat is one of the most ungodly people you ever want to meet, verbally and in every way. And so while I was there, I just felt like I should talk to Pat about God. And I shared the gospel with him briefly. And he said, I don't want to hear it. People have tried to talk to me about that before. I don't want that in my home. I don't let anybody come to my home and talk to me about that. Said, oh, okay. Well, since I'm here, and I just went ahead, and I said, you probably feel like when people try to share with you about Jesus, you probably feel like they're judging you. He said, yes, I do. I feel like they're judging you. And I said, well, Pat, I'm judging you right now. He said, you are? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm judging you as a good man. That's a good friend of mine, and I'm judging you as the kind of guy I'd like to have as my neighbor in heaven, forever. My next door neighbor. I can't imagine anything better than knowing that you were right next door to me forever. And tears started coming down. But I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, that's what Pastor Bart was just talking about. The Holy Spirit has to do the work. No God just led me to share that with him. Now, the next time I visited that, he had Christian music playing on the don't know what all's happened with him, but God does his work, even in all of our hearts, the vilest of sinners, which we all
thank you so much, Dave, for sharing that. And then I'll share a quick story because his story reminded me of a story. And I promise I close with this. This is it, really, guys. College days, Chico, my hometown. First grade all the way through college, okay? Getting ready to move to Portland for the first time to go to seminary, right? Really exciting time. I'm delivering a chest freezer to the cowboys in Chico. We called them goat ropers when the high school kids would come with their hats and lasso the poles and stuff. They were the goat ropers. And so in Kiefer Road, as you got out of Chico towards the airport, there was this whole section of farms and ranches, and that's where the cowboys lived. And so I'm delivering this chest freezer, and I bring it into this cowboy's barn, and this little short guy comes out with a cowboy hat on, and he's got a big old belt buckle, right? And he's got his jeans on, his cowboy boots, and he's just cussing up a storm, this and that, and this and that, and just cussing. And I'm delivering this chest freezer and getting it ready in his barn, and he said, well, we got to talking to this, and I said, yeah, I'm going to be moving to Portland real soon. He says, oh, yeah, why are you moving to Portland? He says, well, you know, I want to go into the ministry. I feel God has called me into the ministry. And, of course, this guy had been cussing like you wouldn't believe, right? And I kid you not, guys, he got back against the wall of the barn and kind of leaned against me. He goes, why do you want to do that? And so I began to share that. You know, I'm doing a delivery. I only got so much time, right? Any of you could have said the statement. Any of you there could have said this statement. There was something going on there that was simply beyond me, that was of the Holy Spirit. Any one of us could have said this statement. I didn't give him a big theological treatise. I just said, Jesus died for me, and he loves me, and he's changed my life, and that's why I want to go into the ministry. And this guy got all watery-eyed and sobbing. See. Now, do you think that's something I could produce, beloved? Do you see how God orchestrates things that are so beyond us? Now, if I tried to force it in him, I'd mess it all up. This was of the Lord. And come to find out, this guy had been raised in a very strict religious home like my father had been raised in. And as we pursued and talked, he was so interested. I said, now, you know, listen, I got a bunch of stuff from our church that I can send you. And he says, would you please do that for me? So I don't know how the story turned out, but he was certainly open to the gospel, beloved. The verse I close with is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, where Jesus is preaching and he says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.